Welcome back to another episode of the Girls Talk Money podcast. We have a fun episode today. We titled it The Cost of Being a Hot Girl. And by that title, you might be able to guess that we're talking about all the money spent on beauty treatments and other expenses that women have to maintain their appearance and also how to budget for that, because we are definitely not here to tell you that to not spend all of the money on yourself and on your appearance. I posted a video about this topic on my TikTok account last month where I listed out some pretty common beauty treatments with average costs of all of them. And it came out to like $7,000 a year or something crazy like that. And you guys were all telling me in the comments that there were even a ton of things that I forgot to add to that list. So it's no surprise that this is an area that can break a lot of girls' budgets, which is why we wanted to do a podcast episode on it. But before we get into the episode, let's do our weekly recap. Grace, hello. What is going on in your week?
Hello. So when we're filming this, Erin and I just came back from a trip to Indiana for NBA All-Star Weekend. And it was kind of funny because, like, not that the plan didn't go according to plan, but Erin and I were so excited to film like some podcast episodes when we were there. And the night before we were going to go film, the like podcast studio that we booked was like, hey, like we actually are going to cancel this because we don't have the space anymore, but like we can record if you want. And we were like, King, where are we recording? You know, like,
he wanted to come to our hotel room, I think, and record there.
And like, I'm like, maybe they produce podcasts too, but like the whole purpose of this, like, booking the studio was to have a space to record, and that was going to take up like a bulk of one of the days we were in Indiana. So then when that got canceled and there was literally is no other studios in Indianapolis that like actually have the equipment, they're just like empty office spaces, we were like, what do we do now? So like we just like kind of changed our plans, canceled like the second night of the hotel, and just rebooked my flight and headed home. But honestly, we were sitting there one of the nights in the hotel and we were like both like, we miss our apartment. Like, I was like, I really miss my apartment. I was like, I really want to be on my cozy couch in my cozy bed. Like, I don't know. And this was my first trip since I like moved into my apartment 3 weeks ago. And I just like didn't realize how much I was going to miss it. And it was freezing cold in Indiana. Like, we were very grateful to be there. We were there with a brand, and very like, you know, much enjoyed that aspect of the trip. But we were like, we were on our own time, we were like, it's cold and I miss my couch. Like,
I think the cold just did not set the vibe for the trip to begin with. I drove, okay, so Indianapolis is only 5 hours away from Pittsburgh. That's what my GPS told me. But I wake up on Saturday morning and the plan was for me to get Grace in the airport. This was an ambitious plan because Grace was landing at 11 a.m. and I thought for some reason that I was going to be able to like be in Indianapolis by 11 a.m. But I wake up Saturday morning and there's 5 inches of snow on my car. So it's like 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm scraping my car off and I'm like, are the roads even good for me to drive to Indianapolis? Like, I don't know. But I drove out there. I didn't end up getting there until 3 p.m. It literally took me 7 hours to get there. I don't know if it's like because of the roads or there was traffic or what was going on, or if I was just driving like a grandma, because it literally took me so long. Like, I swear I was driving, but the GPS kept adding time to my arrival time. Like, my ETA kept increasing and it made no sense. So I drive 7 hours, and then we had like a great night on Saturday with the brand, like Grace was saying. Like, definitely that did not contribute to this trip not going as planned, but like the whole podcast studio thing happened and we were like, should we just leave? Like, yes, it might have been like a waste of our time to come here for less than 24 hours, but I think we would be wasting more time if we continued to go through with this trip, because we were ready to leave.
Yeah, it was quite a little adventure, a little excursion. Yeah, we had a great time Saturday night with the brand. Like, it was fun and it was cool. We got to see like a live podcast recording with Jason Tatum. And for anyone who might not know, like, I'm from Massachusetts and love the Celtics. So that was really cool just to see like such a talented person like right there. That was really fun. But something else about the Indiana trip that was interesting for Erin and I is like, I think we've mentioned this in a previous podcast episode, but we've both kind of been just like rethinking our relationship with alcohol and like how much we want to drink, if we want to drink, things like that. And on this whole trip, so like the event had an open bar and there were lots of like, you know, cocktails that were developed specifically for the event. And Erin and I just had mocktails the whole time. And literally when we were like, so we got back to our hotel room Saturday night and I was on the phone with the, like, cause I wanted to rebook my flight. I was on the phone with like the Chase portal, for literally 45 minutes. And then they were like, oh, you can actually, you just have to call like Delta directly. I was like, oh, slay. So I just sat on like the phone with you for 45 minutes and I actually just need to like contact Delta. And turns out I was able to edit the flight in my Delta account the entire time. So we were literally up until like 1:30 in the morning. And when we were like just laying in our beds, like I'm, you know, trying to figure out my flight situation, the two of us were like, we are so glad we didn't drink tonight. Because I feel like, especially at that kind of event, you know, like going to like a sporting event and stuff, I feel like a lot of people drink and it's very common. And I feel like a lot of people see open bar and they're like, free drinks, like slay. But we just got mocktails the whole time.
And they honestly were literally better.
Oh my God. The mocktail, like the, I just, in case she ever did, the bartender at the Tinker House on Saturday, I don't know what day of the year it was. Girl, if you're ever listening, that mocktail was freaking fire. It was. And she was like giving us tips about how to like make our own like really good mocktails at home. Like, oh my God, she was just a sweetheart. But I, at the end of the night, like I felt so good. Like, obviously I was freaking tired. I, you know, I woke up like literally like 4 a.m. to go catch my flight. And it was like 1:30 in the morning the next day and I hadn't really slept. But just like, I don't know, it really made me rethink my relationship with alcohol. And like coming home on Monday, I was just like, if I truly ask myself, like, what does alcohol bring to my life? Like, what are the benefits of it? I like personally just, I don't have an answer. Because I don't know, like I, with all of my gut health issues and things, like just having a sensitive gut. And last year when they found my like gluten allergy, they also found that I had a candida overgrowth, which is really common. Especially for Americans, because we eat a lot of foods like processed foods and sugar and alcohol and things like that, that candida feeds on. But just like alcohol is really not great for like my stomach, like as someone who had a candida overgrowth, but also like, I always feel like crap. Like I really feel like yeah. I always do. And I just like having the Aura ring, like I can tell when I don't sleep as well. And it will be like, oh, your heart rate was elevated and your temperature was elevated all throughout the night. And that doesn't lead to like as recovered sleep. Like, I don't know what the right way to say that is. Like, I don't get as good of quality sleep. I don't recover as well. And I have found that even when I have just like one drink, I'm not like, I literally don't yeah. sleep as well. And I don't know. It's making me like really rethink my relationship with alcohol. And I think the fact that, you know, there were points where we were out and about and we were like, you know, I would totally feel tempted to like have a drink right now simply because I feel like awkward or, mm-hmm. oh, like I'm, you know, in a new social setting. I'm going to like grab a drink, you know? And I was like, whoa, I'm like, that doesn't sound really very healthy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. I'm like really rethinking my relationship with alcohol. And I think I'm just like simply not going to drink for a while and just kind of like see how I feel and like, mm-hmm. when I go to my favorite restaurant, instead of getting like the drink that my friend and I always get, I'm going to ask them to make it just a mocktail and just kind of like, I don't know. And I posted a video about it and there's so many people commenting saying that they decided to stop drinking and their skin is glowing and it cleared up and they have so much better mental clarity. They're sleeping better. They have more energy. Like, and I don't drink a lot. Let me like also say that, like I maybe have like one drink a week. If I go out to dinner with my friends. But I'm really only having a couple drinks a month otherwise. But I just noticed that, like, I really do feel like I do feel it when I drink, even if I yes. have one. So I'm like, damn,
I also heard in a podcast today, this might like really seal the deal for you because I was listening to a podcast this morning and this lady, I forget like what her credentials were, but she like has multiple books. Like this is like a reliable okay. source. And even that has a book. I'm like, okay, you know, you're yeah. not, but she was saying that even if you have like a couple drinks a week, your resting state is more anxious than someone that does not drink. And it's like the thing a lot of people drink to like decrease their anxiety, like you were talking about, but it's the one thing that's like elevating your anxiety. So I don't like that. I know I'm like one of those people that once I kind of know like the science behind something, it like really turns me off from it. Like I listened to a podcast episode one time about how like sugar breaks down in your body. And I'm not saying that I don't eat sugar. Like I definitely do, but it's like, you're like less interested in that thing, or it becomes less attractive to you because you know what it's doing to your body.
That's so interesting. I have heard stuff about like the anxiety portion. One thing I also, I saw a video, so like for reference, when I was a child, like if you asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would say 100, because I wanted to live to be 100. Like I'm not even kidding.
Wait, that's that was so
like
funny.
Right? It's so random. Like that was like my goal. Like I was like, I want to live to be 100. I want to live forever. Death like absolutely terrifies me. And like there was a video I saw about alcohol and like longevity and like how it impacts your longevity. I was like, oh my God. It kind of like freaked me out a little bit, because when I thought about like living a full life and like, you know, I love doing like visualizations and meditations where it kind of like guides you through like thinking through your dream day and stuff. Like alcohol's never part of that. It's always like me just like running on the beach with a cute dog and like my family and like having a nice like cozy house and like traveling and things like that. And I never think about alcohol when I think about like the fact that alcohol can kind of infringe on my ability to do those things, like living a healthy life, living a long life, things like that. And again, I don't drink, like I'm not like struggling with an alcohol addiction or anything to the point where I feel like it's deteriorating my life, but I just really am like, what does this bring to my life? You know what I mean? Yes. I don't know.
I think for me, I always saw alcohol as like a way to, I don't know. I saw it as like, oh, I love to go to dinner with my friends and like grab a cute cocktail. Like I love an espresso martini. My one friend was telling me that when she was doing Dry January, she would go and order a mocktail espresso martini at the bar. And I was like, honestly sold like literally a martini cup full of espresso. And I was like, that sounds amazing to me. Like that's literally when Grace and I were drinking our little mocktails on Saturday, I was like, this tastes better than if there was vodka or tequila in it. It just does.
And it's like, I mean, honestly, when you think about like, at least for me, I'll speak for myself. When I think about like, if I'm going to order an espresso martini, which we were talking about this over the weekend, I hardly do because I'm allergic to dairy. So like I can't have Bailey's, but sometimes this one restaurant I go to has almond milk Baileys, and I'll get an espresso martini when I'm there because I'm like hyped that it's like dairy free. But I'm like, what I actually like about it is the fact that it tastes like coffee. Like I actually like I'm like,
when it tastes like alcohol, I'm like mad about it.
No, literally, like the reason why I love the drink at my favorite restaurant is because I can't taste alcohol. If I can taste alcohol, I'm like, ew.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what am I don't know. And don't get me wrong, it's fun to like go to the club and like, you know, get drunk and like whatever and just kind of go crazy, go wild. But I feel like also being sober, like I think about moments when I've been sober and other people around me have been drunk, and I'm like, wow, like drunk people are actually, we're like really obnoxious. You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh my God, like I act like that potentially when I'm drunk. Like, I don't know. I just, and not that I'm out here doing like crazy stuff, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah. People just, you lose a little bit of like your, like social cues and your wits, and you know, you're just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just like really rethinking it, because I also, like this year, I'm just so focused on kind of like protecting my peace and like creating a healthy environment for myself in my new place, and just like really establishing, like as part of the whole 1 year experiment thing I'm doing, of like, who do I really want to be, and like how am I like living a life that's contributing to that like future me. And I'm just, I don't know if alcohol has a place in that. And not saying, I don't know if I'm gonna be a bit, you know, sober girly or what's gonna happen with it, but I think I'm definitely like, they call it sober curious. I'm kind of curious about what that would look like and if I would miss it. And like, I mean, I literally never like think about alcohol, and like, you know, I'm not like, oh, I really want to drink. Like, I just, I've never been that way, but I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see. I would say that I'm kind of in like the sober curious mode too. But is there anything else in your weekly recap that you want to talk about?
I am, which this is also something Erin and I had a conversation about over the weekend, but I feel like other really ambitious, like driven people, and kind of like the classic like overachiever, because I've always been that person, I feel like people will kind of relate. I've always been like the straight A student. Like if I get an 80 on a test, like we failed, like we got to get back at it. Like just not accepting, like there's no room for failure in my mind. And like perfection is really the only option, which is like so not healthy and sustainable. And I'm working on that in therapy. But also as like a spiritual person, everyone has kind of this balance of like the feminine and masculine. And it's not like this idea that like women should be a certain way and men should be a certain way, or like, and even people who don't identify as like a man or woman both have like the feminine and masculine like elements of them. It's more of like a spiritual thing rather than like girls like pink, boys like blue. Like it's not like that.
Yeah.
And like part of the masculine is more of like being in control and kind of like the micromanagey, like managing every single element. And I find myself like existing in that side of myself way more than I do the feminine. And most people feel better when they're kind of balanced between them. And I am just really trying to like lean more into the feminine and giving up control of like the desire for perfection and for everything to be just like exactly how I want it to go. Like, and I feel like as an entrepreneur, that's just like, you just like have to be okay with that. You know what I mean? You cannot control everything. And if you do, you're going to move at such a slow pace. So I'm really trying to like lean into that and like just kind of get into a slower pace of life and focus more on pleasure. Like I'm really reevaluating in my business, like what actually lights me up and makes me feel excited, and what am I kind of just continuing to do because I feel like, oh, I've been doing this for a year. You know, I've been working with this client for a year. I've been whatever, like, you know what I mean? Just like really rethinking it. And again, kind of leaning into the whole like 1 year experiment, like what would the best version of me do? And kind of, I'm like, she would not sit here like micromanaging the house down boots. Like she would be like, girl, like, you know, so I just am really trying to, I don't know, reevaluate that, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. It's a big shift, I feel like.
No, I have been thinking through that a lot as well. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about this. I'm a big podcast girl. I'm definitely in my podcast era. but listening to a lot of podcasts just about kind of like all of the businessy things related to the masculine versus the feminine and all of that. And it talks a lot about kind of like releasing the attachment almost to a certain mm-hmm. outcome, which I mm-hmm. am definitely trying to do, because at the end of the day, you don't know what your success is going to look like. I definitely see success in my future because I have also always identified with this kind of like overly ambitious kind of go-getter mm-hmm. type of person. However, I don't know what that success is going to look like, and I need to be okay mm-hmm. with that. I need to stop like attaching myself to a certain, well, this needs to work out by this date, because if not, then I'm a failure. One mm-hmm. thing that I heard was you need to treat it as this or something better. So when you're going after something, it's really, okay, I'm working towards this, but if this doesn't work out, then that means that it's not meant for me and it's something better. So kind of thinking through it like that has definitely helped me.
Yeah, I like love that mindset of like, I took a manifestation and like spirituality course last year, and that was something that was always kind of like instilled into us, is like it's always this or something better. And I love that. I have a friend also, Taylor Nardoni. He I can like link his page in the show notes, but he's like a spiritual coach, and he is so incredible. Like you should follow him on TikTok. I love his content. But one thing he always says is, it's a surprise party, like don't ruin it. And I love that analogy, because I'm like, can you imagine if like you were trying to plan like a surprise party for somebody and they just kept freaking ruining it over and over? Like I would be so friggin' sick of them, and I would never want to do that for them. Like I'd be like, I'm not planning no stinking surprise party for you. You know what I mean? Like I'd be so annoyed. Mm-hmm. And not that like the universe is annoyed with us and is not gonna like give us like what we want or whatever, but just like think about like the joy of like a surprise party. Like you walk in and everyone's there and you're like, oh my God, like this is so fun. Like had you known all the details ahead of time and you knew it was happening, it would literally be like, I would take all the joy out of the fact that it's a surprise party. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I feel like I always try to remind myself sometimes when I'm trying to force a result or trying to like figure out the same thing. Like I know I'm going to be successful, I have no doubt, but sometimes I don't really know. Because I just have so many interests. My career could mm-hmm. go in so many different directions, but I feel that desire to know because it feels safer to know. And then I'm like, no, I'm like, it's a surprise party. We're not ruining it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to either be what I want or something better. So I don't need to like try to get to the bottom of it and ruin it. But I don't know.
I love
What's going on in your week, Erin?
Honestly, the only other thing that I have written down here that I wanted to talk about is I am in such a good mood today for two reasons. One, I don't know what it is about this week, but just this week I've noticed that the days are getting so much longer. I was doing work at like 5:30 last night and I was like, why is it still light outside? And the sun has been shining all week. Today it's literally sunny and 50, and I love a sunny and 50 degree day in February so much. I am just in such a good mood. I also slept really well last night. I made one of those little like sleepy girl mocktails. Have you seen those on TikTok where you use like magnesium powder and the tart cherry juice? I don't know what that juice is like supposed to do for you. I don't know like the health benefits or whatever, but they say to include it. So I did like magnesium, the tart cherry juice, some seltzer water. I was out by 8:30 last night, Grace.
I was like, I love that for you.
8:30. I was so happy about it. And I woke up at 6 and I was just ready to start my day. I think like being sick last week, and then I was on my period last week, and then we were in Indianapolis all weekend. My body was just like, Erin, you need to go to bed. Like, you need to
your body was like, what the frick? Like, let me rest.
Yeah, I haven't checked my Aura ring yet, but I'm curious to see like how long it says that I slept and how good my sleep score was, because I feel absolutely incredible. But I just think like with the days getting longer, I realize how much of a shell of a person I am in the winter time. And I know like everyone kind of goes through this, and to some extent it is healthy like to go through a period of kind of rest and relaxing and just recharging in the winter time. But around this time of year, I get to a point where I'm like, I need the warmth so bad. I was listening to a podcast this morning that was all about like morning routines and things you should do in the morning to have a really good and productive day. And they were talking about getting sunlight in the morning. And I was like, I cannot wait to be able to wake up super early and go sit on my patio and like journal at 6:30 in the morning because it's warm. Like, I can't wait for that. And unfortunately in Pittsburgh, that season is so short. But I'm just really excited for it.
Yeah, I am so hyped for that. I've also noticed the days are kind of getting longer. And I feel like it must mess with like your circadian rhythm. I feel like so there must be something about that when it's like dark at like 4 p.m. and you're not going to bed for like, you know, 6 more hours or whatever versus like when it is later. But I'm also so hyped for it to get warmer because this kind of goes into like our episode today, but I have been experiencing what I'm calling the winter uglies. I don't know if I talked about this in like a previous episode or not, but I just feel like there comes a time in the winter where you just, you know, your skin's dry and you're feeling a lot more textured and your makeup's not setting, like it's not, you know, going onto your skin right. And you're so freaking cold that you're like bundling up. So then you're like, I don't even look cute when I leave the house. Like I look like the freaking Michelin man in my jacket. And you know, you're just, your hair is getting all staticky because it's dry too. Like, and you just are like, ugh, like, you know, you get the ick about yourself. Like that is how I've been feeling. And I'm really trying to kind of get myself back onto maintaining like the things that make me feel good when it comes to like beauty stuff. So I literally booked a hair appointment last week, got my hair done, got a fresh haircut because my hair was a little scraggly. You know, and I'm just trying to like really focus on that in an effort to make myself feel better, because I feel like in the winter, that's just, the winter uglies really hit you hard. They do sometimes, you know.
We definitely all struggle with that. But that is a good segue into this week's episode. So let's get into it. Okay, to kick us off for this episode, again, we are talking about the cost of being a hot girl. So we're really just talking about the cost of beauty treatments and things like that, and the cost of maintaining beauty standards as women. The premise of this episode is this list that I created for a TikTok video about a month ago, where I was essentially just saying, like, do we really think about the cost of these things on an annual basis? Because I was about to go get my hair done and I was like, okay, $200 here, $200 there. It doesn't necessarily seem like that much. But then when you start tracking your spending, if you don't track your spending, you especially might not like understand kind of the overall cost of all of these things. But when you do start to track your spending, you're like, okay, this adds up a little bit. And then when you annualize it, then you're like, okay, what am I doing? So I posted this video. I had like a green screen list behind me and I was like, okay, hair X amount, like nails X amount. the total was $7,000 on an annual basis. And that number actually blew my mind, like $7,000 for context. And again, we're not trying to say that like you shouldn't spend any money on beauty. We definitely do. Like we were just saying, we're trying to get over the winter uglies. And we think that a lot of this is important to feel confident and all of that stuff if you feel that it's important for you. But $7,000, like that is the 2024 contribution limit for the Roth IRA. So like, I don't know, that's just a lot of money. So we're going to kind of like talk through some of these things, how we came to these numbers, give our totals, and then also give some tips for like budgeting for this stuff, and then also some more budget-friendly alternatives if you're feeling like, I do a lot of the things on this list and I know it's out of my budget, but I don't know what to do. I don't know where to cut back. So some of the things that I was like starting with here, and then Grace, you can kind of like give yours as well, but so hair, $300 five times a year. That's the estimate that I use. That's about like how much I spend on my hair. That's $1,500 a year that I'm spending on my hair. And I don't know if that's an area where I'm necessarily going to cut back, but I did just go back to my natural hair color. So I don't know if this is an area where I might be spending less moving forward, or if it's an area where I'm just like, you know what, it's worth it. I'm going to continue to get my hair done.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking to my hairdresser about this, 'cause I just got my hair done last Friday and I only got like a glaze, I think is what it's called, on top. It's kind of like a toner. It makes your hair really shiny, and a cut, and it was like $150 with the tip. So like not bad, but I wasn't getting like a full like balayage like I used to. But I was talking to my hairdresser about like, I would always go with like the frequency of like when I would get it done, it would be maybe twice a year because I wasn't actually like keeping up with it and maintaining it. Like I would go until I thought my hair looked insane. And I'd be like, wow. I'm like, my split ends look actually freaking terrible. Like my bangs are literally down to my boobs. This is just like, you know, I'd be like, we need to reevaluate here. But if you actually, like, one thing I'm trying to do better in 2024 is like actually maintaining these things. So like not letting it get to the point where it's like so grown out and I'm like, oh my God, I look horrible and I don't like how my hair looks. Like it doesn't make me feel confident. So like why let it get to a point where it makes me feel ugly rather than just like keeping it like up, you know, keep, my gosh, yeah, keeping it. But like, I feel like that's the thing is if I was actually doing it five times a year and like keeping up with it, it just adds up so fast.
Yeah, it does. When I was a blonde, and I've been a blonde for so long, I was definitely going more than five times a year because every 8 weeks, that's when I would start to notice that my roots were just so dark.
Yeah.
Now that I am more of like my natural kind of bronze color, I don't think that I'm going to be on an every 8 week schedule. I think that I'll be able to kind of like push it. But I do have to say that my decision to go back to my natural hair color did not have to do with money. Yeah. And for a lot of people, I think it would have to do with money. I know a lot of people have been commenting on my TikTok video saying like, I went back to because the blonde was just like way too much maintenance and everything. I think hair is one of those areas where it can kind of like make or break your confidence levels. But I was just at a point where I didn't feel, not that I didn't feel pretty as a blonde anymore, but I was starting to feel like the blonde was just really washing me out. So that was the decision maker. I wasn't necessarily like, oh, I don't want to spend all of this money on my hair because for me, hair is like such a big thing. You have so much of it on your head and like, it's kind of the first thing that people like notice about you. So I was just going to say, it's not like I like went back because of the money, but it's like a more important one for me on this list.
Yeah. One of the ones I feel like is important to me is my nails, which I know a lot of people just don't, they don't really care about their nails. But when I was younger, I had like, I don't know if I'd call it like a nail biting habit, because I wasn't one of those people who would like kind of like chew my nails down and make them really short. But like, I just had this like anxious habit of kind of like picking at my nails. And a lot of anxious girlies probably relate. Like, I feel like a lot of people have like something that they do, whether it's like picking at their skin or like playing with their hair, and then you end up like breaking your hair or things like that. But that was one of my like kind of anxious habits, and I just didn't like how my nail, like I didn't feel the most confident when my nails weren't done. So I started getting them done, and it honestly makes me feel really confident. I tried to like swap and be like, oh, I'm gonna do this at home, And then it was such a freaking pain in the butt to do them at home that I never followed through with it. And then my nails just, like, they weren't done and I didn't feel confident about them. And as someone who's, like, on camera so much, and I talk with my hands, so there was just, there's no hope of, like, you know, keeping my hands out of the frame. Like, I just want my nails to be done and I feel more confident when they are done. But I get Dip, which is, like, a little bit more expensive, but it lasts so much longer. Like, I've had these for, like, over 4 weeks. And I really, I could go longer, except that I dropped a box on my poor pinky finger when I moved. I don't know what I did because I didn't feel it in the moment, but I think I dropped something on my finger, like something heavy that I was carrying, because it broke the Dip nail and then it broke like my actual nail underneath halfway up my nail bed. So this poor little guy over here, this poor nub, if you're watching the video version, you can see the crazy nub. Is recovering, and so I'm like want to go back and get these done just to get rid of my nub, but otherwise like they last so long. And with Tip, I think it's like $60, so it's like $60 a month, but I don't know, to me it's worth it because it makes me feel so much more confident. And I know that trying to use some of the more budget-friendly alternatives at home, like I just don't, I don't follow through with it. I don't want to do my own nails. I don't want to learn how to do Dip at home. Like I don't want it to be a hobby. I want to sit down and have someone else do it for me. And
it's well. Honestly like, hard. Like I have a DIY like gel kit and I do use it every once in a while. I probably used it. I bought it at the beginning of 2023 and I probably used it 6 times in 2023. So when you look at like the cost per whatever, like it wasn't that bad. But it's hard to do. And then one falls off and you get super frustrated. Like my DIY gel nails are not lasting me 4 weeks. They're just really not. And then I have this problem where, and like, if anyone is really good at doing this and has any tips, definitely leave them on Spotify because maybe I'm just not that good at them. But once I do take the gel tips off, I have a bunch of like glue residue on my nails. So then my nails look absolutely terrible. And the last time that I ended up taking them off, I went to the salon. I didn't get a manicure, but I went to the salon to like have them prep my nails and get all of the glue off because they looked so terrible. So I still had to go to the salon anyway. I don't get my nails done for 2 reasons right now. One, I'm playing basketball, so I like can't have the long nails. I like, but my season's almost over. And once the season is over, I think I'm going to start getting my nails done again, even though I really hate taking the time out of my day to do it. But I feel so much more put together when I have my nails done as well. And especially like in the spring, once you start wearing like fun outfits and you're wearing bright colors and you have like the cute nails, like I like it too.
Yeah, it's such like a confidence boost. I will say I have seen, I think it's Olive in June, I think is the name of the brand. One of our like friends from social media, Libby, uses them and her nails look really cute. And I know a lot of people really love Olive in June. They're like this, like press-ons, like nails and stuff, but I've heard that they actually last like several weeks. I've never tried it, but, I feel like for some people who maybe don't want to go to the nail salon, I also feel like depending on the area you live in, the nail salon can be insanely priced because my nail salon I went to at home was like same price, roughly like $50 before tip, $60 with tip for a Dip set. And I get like the almond shape, so it's like a little bit more money. But like I went to a different nail salon once because I was like, my nail salon didn't have an appointment and my nails looked whack. And I had like some sort of event or something I had to go to. It was $80 before the tip. So it was $96 for just Dip in like almond shape. And I was like, that is $36 more than my normal salon. And I know that sometimes when you get into the cities and stuff, it's just so much more expensive, but which I feel like it's the same thing for pedicures. I know like your estimate was like, if you're getting 4 pedicures a year for $80 each, that's $320 a year, which I feel like isn't too bad just because of like how long a pedicure lasts, especially if you get gel, like it lasts so long, I feel like. But I feel
that's why I like, said only 4 times a year, but so many people commented on my video and said only 4 times a year. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I'm never going to do my own toes. Like I'm absolutely never going to like, I feel so much cleaner when I like get a pedicure. And I feel like that's just kind of like, for me, basic maintenance. If you like to do your own toes, like all the power to you. I'm like so happy for you about that. But I just feel a lot better when I go and get a pedicure once a quarter. So I like totally agree. I don't think that that is like, I mean, none of this is bad money spent. It's all just kind of like about what you value and like establishing your non-negotiables versus like what you're doing just to kind of like maintain something that you don't even really care about. Right. But with the nails, if you're spending, let's say I said $80 per time, which could definitely be more. I think some, mm-hmm. especially if you live in a big city, it could be upwards of 100 to 120 every time you get your nails done. I said 17 times a year, which is every 3 weeks. I know for me, like when I am getting my nails done, every 3 weeks is about how often I would have to go. And that is $1,360 in total per year, which again, it's not make or break, but when you start to like add all of these things up together, the totals get really high.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. I don't know. I feel like it's just, it does go back to like what you value though. You know, like I don't value, like I like having a pedicure for sure. And I'll get it done like a few times a year. Cause I'm the same way. I feel like if I'm going to do it at my house, I don't use gel and then it just like chips off a lot faster. So I'm like, you know what, at this point, like I value my time. So like my time and the items I had to spend to like paint my own nails, like that's actually more money than just paying someone else to do it. Like, cause I value my time at a lot, mm-hmm. like very high amount. And I don't know. I just feel like it makes more sense, but that's because like I value that. Like I value the way that like having my nails done makes me feel. But there are other people who just like, they just simply don't value that. And that's fine. Which also like going like down the list here, I also value, like I want to be a confident person. So I've kind of made decision in the past like couple years to like, if there's something that I feel like is going to make me more confident, do it like within reason, right? Like I'm not going to go like get a facelift right now, you know, like whatever.
I would love to, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, right. Like I would love to. But I do get my lips done and I do get Botox in my jaw, mostly for, it's like not really aesthetic. It's for like jaw clenching. It's like clenched the hell out of my jaw and I have like cracked teeth and all these things. So it does also like make your jaw muscles like bigger and stuff because you're like working the muscle the same way you would work a muscle in the gym. So it was making my face look, I was looking like the Crimson Chin, you know, I was giving chiseled, but like not in a good way. And so I was like, yeah. So I like get Botox in my jaw for that. But I've also started exploring, like last time I went, I got like, it was literally like the teeniest little bit of Botox. It was like 2 units or something, under like one of my eyebrows to lift it because my eyebrows are crooked. But like filler is, it ain't cheap, you know? I think each time I go, like one syringe for my lips is like $700. And apparently because it's a med spa, you're not supposed to tip, which I didn't know. I tipped 20% the first time because it's a, they're physician assistants and nurses. And you like wouldn't tip a nurse otherwise. So I don't know. I mentioned that I tipped in a video and people were like, oh my God, you're not supposed to do that. I tipped 20% of, I got Botox and filler that time. So my tip was like $400 or something. It was actually insane. Like how much I tipped, but when I go now, I just pay like the $700 for a syringe. And I also do a lip flip at the same time. Cause I have like no top lip. But I like love it. I got it done for the first time last year. Yes. It was a lot of money to invest. But when I tell you like my confidence, like I used to watch back videos and I would just look at my lips the whole time because they were very thin. They were very crooked and it was an insecurity of mine. And now like, I literally get compliments on my lips. Like I was at a club after I got my lips done the first time, literally at a club, and someone walked up to me and she was like, you just have like really pretty lips. And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, they're fake. And like, I've had people like that I've dated in the past be like, not to be weird, but like you have really nice lips. And I'll be like, I'll let my injector know. Like she'll be very hyped. And I had people literally be like, well, yeah, tell her she does good work because, like, you know, it's one of those things that, yes, it's expensive, but I do really like getting it done. But I personally probably spend like $1,400 to $2,000 a year on just lip filler. And then when it comes to Botox, like it's probably like $300. Again, it's more for like the health, like not cracking my teeth at age 25. But I feel like it's probably another like $1,200 a year because I do feel like I have to go every quarter, just because Botox like wears off, especially with the amount that I'm like working that muscle. But it is so worth it to me. Like that's something that like genuinely is worth spending the money because of like the confidence benefits.
Yeah, I would say this is definitely an area that I am willing to invest in as well. Going back to the confidence thing, I currently don't spend any money on Botox or filler, but I did in 2023, or maybe it was the end of 2022. I spent a lot of money on Invisalign because that was an area that I had a really big insecurity about. I have never had any work done on my bottom teeth, and my bottom teeth were very crooked. And I never noticed it until I started posting videos onto TikTok. And when I would talk in videos, I would like watch my videos and just notice my crooked bottom teeth. And so I spent it literally. It was $5,000 in total. I thought my insurance was going to cover $2,000 of it, but then quickly after that, I ended up getting a new job, so I got that fat bill in the mail.
I think it was actually
$4,200. That was the total price of it. But it was totally worth the money. I'm so happy with that decision to go through with that, because again, it was just something that I was really insecure about, and it helped, or it prevented me from showing up in a more confident way on socials. I think I will probably start getting some type of Botox and or filler. One thing that I've noticed a lot since being on social media as well, and again, like no one else probably notices, like these are just things that like if it makes you not confident and it makes it something that like you want to do for yourself, like we're not here to tell you that that's not money well spent, obviously within reason, but I noticed that my face isn't the most symmetrical, and I know a lot of people like talk like this is definitely a normal thing. But I noticed that one of my eyebrows sits significantly higher than the other one. When I got my eyebrows microbladed, she tried to fix this, but it's still like they're still not symmetrical. So I think that's something that I could see myself potentially invest again in 2024, but I don't currently do it yet.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people will relate to this, like. When I have gone to the med spa before, I like brought it up last time. I was like, girl, I'm like, I feel like I always look like I'm just a little to the side. And she was like, girl, like, she's like, that's everybody. She was like, everyone's face is like uneven. And there's like actually very, very few people that have like a like very symmetrical face. But I am kind of, I'm like, it does like bother me. Like I watch back my videos, especially anything that's taken with the back camera. The back camera does you so friggin' dirty. Even on these podcast episodes, like we record and it like mirrors, but then when we watch it back, it's flipped. So you're just looking at yourself in a different way, you know, like it's not mirroring. It's the back camera. It's flipping it. And I sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't know. It does make you a little bit more, I think, critical of your face. And obviously there's nothing wrong with it. We're not saying like anyone has to go get work done or has to do anything, but just like, if that's something that you're also insecure about, like you're not alone. And I think also a lot of people that we see on social media that do have like very symmetrical faces, like, you know, celebrities and like, you know, really, really massive like creators and things like that. A lot of people have gotten work done to make their facial structure look more even. And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, as like, I literally want to do that to my face too. But I think it also makes us compare. Like we look at our own face and we're like, why the hell is one of my eyebrows literally in another dimension? And like, it's just because like, that's how your face structure is. But I also like, I want to kind of like spend a little bit more on filler to kind of make my eyebrows even. We tried like Botox on one of them to make it, like higher. We wanted to see if relaxing the muscle would help, but it didn't do enough. So we might have to do filler next time, but it is just expensive and there is upkeep with it too, for sure. Although filler lasts longer, so it's not as bad, but I just think like when you feel more confident in yourself, you show up differently, and that impacts your energy that you're bringing to work and your relationships, just in everything. And I feel like that's like, I don't know, that's kind of priceless for me. So I'm like, yeah, put some filler in my face if it makes me feel more confident. Like,
that's such a good point about the comparison, because the people that you see on socials that you really, I don't want to say look up to, but you're like, oh, I love like the way that this girl looks or anything like that. You don't know necessarily what work like she has gotten done. So it is hard to like kind of compare yourself. The one like problem that I have with, not problem, but the one probably big reason why I haven't gotten started on some of like the fillers and the Botoxes and like all of the things, is because I've heard this be referred to as the hot girl hamster wheel, which I think is like the best term ever, but essentially just meaning that anytime you start a new beauty procedure, you have to keep up with it unless it's something that's like absolutely so permanent, like mm-hmm. getting a permanent surgery, like a boob job or something like yes. that. You have to pay more money in the future to kind of like maintain that and keep up with it. So if you do start getting filler every, let's say you go every 6 months or whatever, you have to continue to do that, or yeah. it will just go back to the way that it looked prior. I got my eyebrows microbladed at the beginning of 2023, and now I'll have to go every like 12 to 18 months to go and get that touched up, because I can already tell that it's fading and it doesn't look as good as it mm-hmm. did when I first got it. So I think that has been the big reason why I haven't gotten started. But we did kind of want to mention some like budget friendly alternatives to some of these things yeah. too. Two things that I've tried, which I think definitely help, not so much on like the symmetrical aspect, but I have been using a gua sha a lot more mm-hmm. recently. And I think, I don't know if it's like in my head, but I do think it helps. I think it like yeah. kind of gives that like lifted face look. And again, it might mm-hmm. be in my head, but that's fine. Like all of this goes back to like how I feel, not necessarily how right. other people yeah, view yeah. me. So like the gua sha, that's like super cheap. You can buy one for $8 on Amazon, or even like an ice roller or something, anything to like help you feel like you're getting that like lifted look in your face.
Yeah. One thing I'll say about like the like upkeep thing. So like, and this is also on our list of, you know, like if you're going for facials or whatever every like quarter and you're spending $600 a year on facials, like one thing I did a couple years ago that I actually think was worth the money and was actually a pretty permanent solution was I went to a med spa and got a series of laser treatments done on my skin, because I had horrible, horrible acne when I was in middle school and high school. And I was actually on a medication that it was doxycycline for any of my girlies who went to the dermatologist very frequently when they were younger. But when I was on doxy, I actually had an allergic reaction to it, but we didn't know it was an allergic reaction. They just told me to keep taking it, for 3 months. And so it like permanently scarred my skin, and nothing, like every single inch of my skin, every single inch was just scars, and very deep, because the inflammation was coming from like the inside out, you know, it was just an allergic reaction for 3 months. And so I went to a med spa and I got this series of three laser treatments done. I will say two of the three were so incredibly painful. I was literally crying through the third one. I was like, just keep going. It's fine. It was just like tears. It's so, so painful. Now, I don't think I've ever had anything as painful as that, but I will say it got rid of like, I would say 80% of my scarring. I did end up, when I was like having all the inflammation from my gluten allergy and things like that, my skin was so inflamed and red that I did have some like redness and things kind of come back. So I have my skin's very, very easy to like bruise and scar. But I've actually debated going back and like doing it again, because I feel like if I did it one more time, it would be fine. And again, 80% of my scarring was gone. And I, again, it was very deep scarring. So like that type of thing, you can do it once and you don't have to like do it again. Because it makes such a difference. And now I feel like when I'm using skincare products, I'm able to focus more on just like I use like a retinol and focusing like on the hydration of my skin, rather than feeling like before I was just never really getting ahead with the scarring. So I was spending so much money on all these different products to kind of get rid of the scarring and keep the acne at bay. And now that I've done that, I don't have to worry about that. So I do feel like there are definitely some things you can do, not on like the facial symmetry kind of side of things, unless you like get a full surgery and like they break your face and like put it back into place. But like there are some things I feel like you can do that, I don't know, kind of help get you like a few more steps ahead. Like one thing I've been thinking about is laser. I have super, again, like I said, super sensitive skin. No matter what I use to shave my legs, my pits, anywhere, I get the worst razor burn everywhere, and it is so painful. And it's caused like me to get these little like almost like cysts basically, where my skin just gets so irritated. And I'm like, you know what? Like I feel like spending the couple $1,000 it is to get the laser and then never have to shave again. Because if anyone else has very sensitive skin, you probably know that you find like one shaving product that works for you and you're like, that's going to be my ride or die. And the one razor that irritates me the least, it still irritates me, but irritates me the least, is so friggin' expensive that like in the summer when I'm shaving my legs, like every day or whatever, because I'm wearing shorts and stuff, I go through a pack of those razors in like a month. Like it's like six heads and they're almost $30. So I'm like, you know what? If I just took the money I was spending on that and put it towards laser and then I never have to shave. And also that would save me like just like the freedom of never having to shave. And like, let's be real for a second, like shaving your legs, all right, not bad, like whatever.
Yeah.
Shaving the nether regions is an Olympic sport and I'm over it. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, I want my time back.
And the razor burn. The razor burn is
cute bikini. And you're like, oh, like, and then you feel like a little insecure because the razor burn's so bad. Like, I don't know. Things like that, I think, would be nice. But again, like, it is a cost. Like, you're paying a couple grand. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
I've thought about doing laser too because I hate shaving the bikini region, especially because, like, my hair comes in so dark that I'll shave one day and then I'll have stubble the next day. And, like, from far away, I swear you can see it. Like, I'm so self-conscious in a bikini because I feel like you can just see it. So it's something that I've thought of. But the reason why I have not gone laser is because I was under the impression that laser hair removal hurt really bad. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because someone commented on my TikTok video when I was talking about laser in my like cost of being a hot girl video. Someone said, check Groupon for good deals on laser hair removal. And if anyone has done this and has had a good experience, I'm really happy for you. But my friend, I think it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, she got a Groupon for laser hair removal. And she was telling me, I was like asking her how all of her appointments were. And she was like, it's the worst pain I've ever experienced in my entire life. She was like, they're literally like sucking the hair out of your body. Like the laser is like, and I was like, oh my God, that sounds like it hurts really bad. And she was like, yeah, no, it hurts literally so bad. And then she was going to this appointment time after time. And she was like, I just really don't feel like it's taking the hair away. The lady told her it was going to be for her Brazilian. It was going to be like 15 sessions or something. And she was like, oh my gosh, I have to go do this. And it's so painful 15 times. Well, it turns out that the person that she was going to, they just had a really old laser. So it was like an older version, like when laser hair removal first came out or something, that was the process. Like it sucks the hair out of you and it's so painful, but it was also an old laser. So it wasn't working that well. So this poor girl, my friend, she was going so many times and it wasn't working and it was really painful because she got it on Groupon. So maybe don't try to skimp on the laser treatment. Like if you want to go, just get an expensive one.
You saying like sucking the hair out of the skin is literally like, it's making my skin crawl. Like I'm like, oh my God, especially down there.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. I don't know if they're like flag this podcast if I say the wrong word, but like I'm using cryptic language, but like I've heard like with Groupon, like you do have to be careful because I mean sometimes you can get a great deal because a lot of small businesses use Groupon to get like to attract new customers, so you can get like really good deals. But also I know the med spa I go to, they have every single month they have different things that have different deals. So one month it's like, oh, there's a deal on Dysport, and the next month there's a deal on like, I don't know, Kybella or whatever. It's just like deals on different things every month. And they did have a deal on laser and I almost booked it. My hang up, reason why I haven't booked it is because the idea of like someone being up in my business a little bit with a link, because they got to get close enough to like hold the laser on these locations. And also Jenna Palick did a video where she was talking about getting a Brazilian laser and she was like, I didn't realize that like you would have to like open up for them to like, and I was like, oh my God, like something about it. I'm like, even going to, like the gynecologist, I'm like, you know what, that's a lot. But if I never had to shave down there ever again, like
it's oh definitely my God, my worth life it.
Would be actually changed. So I actually have a sinking fund right now, which is another thing we wanted to talk about of like, if you do want to splurge on something, like setting aside money for it is such a good thing. Like I have a self-care budget every month that ranges from like $150 to $250, depending on what I'm doing that month. And then anything excess that I have left over, like if I budget $200 and I don't use all that $200, it goes into my self-care sinking fund. And that is like an agreement I made with myself as someone who struggles to spend on myself. I'm like, if we are going to budget, I'm not going to take that $200 at the end of the month and invest it. It is going into my self-care sinking fund because I deserve to spend money on myself. And that's really helpful. I will say some months, like if I'm going to go get my lips done, I just like budget it into my budget because I have the flexibility to do that. But otherwise, I'm setting aside money. So I have a laser sinking fund that I am trying to save up and like go get the laser and just bite the bullet. But I don't know, because it's no like budget friendly way to really approach that other than just like shaving. And I'm like, I've been shaving for, I don't know, 10 years probably at this point, if not more. I don't really remember like when I started shaving, but like the idea of having to do that, I mean, you don't have to, obviously you don't have to shave, like, you know, let it grow if that, like, whatever, if you yeah. have long pit hair, leg hair, whatever, do your dang thing, girl. So it doesn't make me feel confident. And the idea of having to do that for another like 50 years of my life, no.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to.
I will say too, because talking about like budget friendly ways to do these things too. So this isn't something that's super prevalent where I live, but depending on the area of the country that you're in, if you're in a big city or if you're in kind of a trendier location like Scottsdale, Austin, Nashville, this might apply for you. ClassPass can accomplish some of these things. So my one friend was telling me how her sister lives out in Arizona and you can use ClassPass for things like a laser hair removal treatment facials. Or a facial or a massage. Like, so check that maybe to be able to get these kind of at a discount without using something like Groupon. Or if you are going to use Groupon, just make sure you're checking the reviews, even like outside of the Groupon app, like check Yelp or check something else to get a lot of reviews before you do something like that.
I also, the first time I got the Botox in my jaw, I actually went to, I want to say it's called the National Laser Institute, but I'm not 100% sure. So they are like a school that like trains people on how to do like filler and laser and Botox and all these different procedures and stuff. And basically they would have these weekends where they would come and do a training weekend in different cities. And then the people who are training, they're being overseen by an injector that is like really experienced and from the city. But then they would also do these injections or things like that. And so the first time I ever got the Botox done, I needed a much larger dose because it was my first time getting it done. Now it's cheaper because I'm just basically maintaining it. But the first time I got it done in my jaw, I want to say it was like $300 all in. And I want to say I got like, God, it was a lot of units, maybe like 30 on each side or something. It was a lot. But that's pretty common, I think, for masseter Botox. But because I was having these, like, they're nurses, but they're just nurses who are basically making a career change into wanting to do injecting. So they know how to like use a needle, basically. It's not like some random person from the side of the road who just decided to sign up for this. But then there's also an injector who's overseeing it and teaching them how to do it. But because they're in training, it's significantly cheaper. And I know that I think it's National Laser Institute. They go to a bunch of different cities and they also do laser. And it's cheaper. Obviously it's only one session, or, you know, depending on how long they're in your city, you might be able to go for more than one session. But if you wanted to kind of just like test it out and see like how much it reduced the hair growth or whatever, you could do that, or like go and get your filler and Botox. I want to say they come to like Boston every year or every 6 months or so, because when I went, there was like a bunch of, they were so cute, bunch of little old ladies that were like, oh, is this your first time? Like, I come here every time they're here. So I don't know. I feel like that is like a, like that's an option too, is to see if there's like any sort of training programs around you. Which also kind of goes along with the idea of like, if you're getting your hair done or your nails done, look for like beauty schools that are looking for people to work on. That's obviously, you obviously are taking a risk, you know what I mean? Like, depending on how early someone is into their training. But there are a lot of times like people who are doing that. I know when I used to get lash extensions, which I didn't do for very long, I just did not like how they looked on me, but I went to someone who was like pretty new to doing them. Like, she had done her program and stuff. She was just working on building up her clientele. So she was offering like lower rates. And that was a good way for me to kind of test it out and see. I think this applies to certain beauty treatments. Like, please do not, like, I don't know, go get a nose job from like a brand new, like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I'll stick it through. But like, when it comes to like lashes or nails or getting a facial or something, like, find someone who maybe is a little bit like newer to the game and
I actually found my current hairdresser from when she was in beauty school. There's a beauty school very, very close to where I live in Pittsburgh, and I would go there sometimes when I was in college and needed my hair done and could not afford to go to an actual salon, and it is significantly discounted. I think you only pay for the product, so to get highlights or foils or whatever, I think it was less than $50, and then you tip them for their service as well. They have instructors that are overseeing them, and I will say for blondes, like, blonde is kind of tricky, so sometimes I wasn't like, oh, this is the best like head of highlights I've ever gotten in my entire life. But if you're someone that maybe isn't a blonde, that doesn't have like a ton of upkeep needed to their hair, or you just need a cut, or you want your hair styled or something like that, going to a beauty school can make it super affordable. And then, like I said, that's how I found my hairdresser. So when she graduated and started at a salon for her first 6 months, she was a lot more discounted because she was new and was trying to build up her clientele. So you can kind of get a discount that way.
Yeah. I think like this all kind of goes back to the theme too of like, figuring out like what makes you feel good about yourself and like what is within your means at this like point in time. Like, again, like would I love to get a little neck lift, like, you know, have more snatched like jaw? Yeah, like of course I would. But like, is that something that I feel like I value spending money on at this point in my life? No. And there are people, like, I have a friend who gets her nails done, I think it's, like, every single, like, every 2 weeks, and she always gets, like, cute little fun designs on her nails because she loves that. So she probably spends more money on her nails than someone who, like, really doesn't care about their nails. But it really is about, like, what you value, what makes you feel good about yourself. And I think there's this, like, balance of having some, like, I don't want to say like guilt around it, but I, like, when I first started getting my lips done, I had a little bit of guilt about the fact that like I was dropping $700 to go do it. But then I was like, you know what? It's within my means. Like, I can afford to do that. I'm not like, oh, I'm going to go do this, you know, knowing that like I'm putting it on my credit card and it's going to make me spiral into debt. Like, you have to think about what your values are financially, what your values are in terms of like your confidence, you know, like, do I value spending money on things that make me feel more confident, or do I really just like not care, you know? And figuring out like what your non-negotiables are. Like, if I have to skip, like, I don't know, an appointment of getting my nails done, like, it's fine. I don't, mine look pretty grown out right now and I really don't care. Like, I feel fine. But it's like keeping up with my hair is something that like is more important to me. I don't want to have to skip that appointment. And there are other things I will give up in my budget if I needed to, like I could cancel a gym membership, or like, those are just things I just don't care as much about, you know, or like cancel a subscription I have or something, so that I can get my nails done. Like, you have to think about what makes sense for you and like what you actually value.
100%. It's all about kind of thinking through, and this isn't just for purchases related to beauty, but anything that you're spending money on, what does that thing bring into your life? And unfortunately, with a lot of the beauty expenses, it is that confidence piece for so many people. And that's why for anyone sitting here being like, it's a waste of money for you to go get your nails done, it's a waste of money for you to get highlights, it's not. If it's investing in your confidence, like, that is a good splurge for a lot of people. But it's again, like, we can't sit here and say it's worth it for you to spend money on getting your hair done, but it's not worth it for you to spend money on getting your nails done, because everyone is so unique, and what makes you feel confident might not be what makes me feel confident, and vice versa. So just think it through in your budget and make sure you're kind of like keeping an eye on what those totals are. But again, thinking through what you actually value is going to help you justify and not feel guilty about all of those purchases. But I think this is a good time to wrap up this week's episode. If you have any feedback, any episode ideas, any questions for us, be sure to leave them in Spotify. We love reading through everyone's questions and feedback. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review in either Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening from. And be sure to tune in next week. Thank you for tuning in to the Girls Talk Money podcast.